Right, good evening, everyone. My name is Reino. If we haven't had the privilege of meeting, thanks, Dono. Thanks for that. I pastor the church together with my wife and my two little kids. Yes, they are also in the ministry. They make sure that I continuously grow in my godliness. So they're very much part of us. I'm going to jump right into it tonight. We're going to pass the mic around quite a bit. Tonight is what we call our Activate Sunday, which means we're going to be talking about various of the ministries that we have at church. It's not all the ministries, but it's most of the essential ministries in church. And so I'll talk about that in a moment. And then some of the ministry leaders will come up and they'll be sharing. Then afterwards, we'll have some time for questions. And the next while, in fact, this is a last month that we're going to have service together as in here. From there on, we're going to multiply service. So who's been in a small group multiplication? Who's been part of that, where the small group grows too big and now we have to split up in two? So for some of us, it's like, oh man, some of these relationships, you know, it's difficult. I see some people smiling. They know what I'm talking about. But then there's also the exciting part of, you know, we're a new group, we're a new team, and there's new adventures and new roles that we're taking up and so on. And so, like I said, in a month's time, we're going to have two evening services, 4 o'clock and a 6:30 service. And so, you know, we really, you know, the approach that we do at church here is, you know, it's a team. We function as a team, and we're going to actually read from Ephesians just now and see that that's actually God's plan. It's always been for a team to participate. So I want to invite you right here at the start of this evening to be a part of the team. You know, it's not good enough just to come to church. You must be the church. You know, and that's when church becomes exciting. You know, who wants to be a pew warmer, right? You know, we want to participate with Christ. You know, if I look at the disciples and the ministry of Jesus, it's exciting. They're going places. They're doing things. And that is what God invites us today still, and even much more today. You know, Jesus says the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. I'm jumping ahead of myself because I need to share that a bit later. Anyways, I want to just touch on something that I believe is really crucial. Matthew and the guys had an awesome prayer day, 12 hours yesterday. Who was a part of that? Put up your hands. Was it cool? Was it not cool? Was it boring? Not lots of excitement. Couldn't have been that cool, hey? No, it was really cool. I think I was here for about an hour, and the Lord really ministered to me. I mean, you were walking in this place, man. It felt like you're floating. And the Lord really spoke to me so powerfully. And the thing that the Lord spoke to me about is what I like to call the otherness of God. The fact that God... And so often we emphasize the fact that God is so much like us. We emphasize the fact that He can relate to us, that He understands that we've fallen, that we're sinful, and He understands the temptations that we're going through. We understand that He's near. And of course, all those are very true as long as we recognize and realize, but God is... God is awesome. God is massive. God is powerful. God is holy. Holy means that he's separate from sin. He's holy, and we can use that picture of the fire. You know, when you come close to the fire, it burns you. You know, it's not like the fire is offended at you, you know, or it's not like the fire is angry at you. It's just part of his nature. So, you know, you can come close to the fire, put your hand in the fire, you're going to get burned. You know, and it's a part of God. It's another side of God that I think is so powerfully biblical, but we don't emphasize it enough. All right, so I believe the Holy Spirit is emphasizing it, and I believe it's such a key for us in this time. Psalm 50 says it like this, verse 21. These things you have done, and I've kept silent. This is God speaking to his people. You thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. He says, you made a little mistake. You thought I was like you. I was like a man. And God is not. God is not a man. God is God. God is awesome. And so I can use the analogy, and we often, you know, use this analogy, but I've got a little boy, even 2 years old. He's a lot like me. Even looks a lot like me. All right? Some people will agree. He does things like me. He talks like me. But in a very real way, he needs to, you know, one day, for instance, emotionally, he's not mature yet. And the way I was, you know, he's thinking in terms of many things is not there yet. He needs to develop. He needs to grow. But maybe someday he'll be like me and better. You know, I believe my kids are going to be better than I am. They're going to do greater things than I have done. That's what I believe godly parenting is about. But this is where the analogy falls short. Because you and I, we become like Jesus. We become like God. But guess what? None of us are ever going to be God. All right? None of us are going to ever be God. Because the moment you do that, you're sinning. Right? And then you, by definition, not God. Right? So it's not possible. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're really awesome, but you're not God. And you will never be God. I'm sorry. Now, this is really crucial for us to understand when we get to the ministries. And I'm going to just quickly touch on it. Blessing already used the opportunity for the lengthy scripture. So I'll spare the lengthy scripture. I'll just give you, it's just a joke, please. I enjoyed your sharing there. Isaiah chapter 6. Was that Stefan? Yes, it was Stefan. I recognize that laugh. Verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. I saw the Lord on a throne, high and lifted up. And so we see a couple of things happening here. We see the prophet Isaiah, and please note, he's already a prophet. Please note, he already knows God. He has a form of relationship with God. But very interestingly, it starts off, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died. Now, we can talk about this for a while. But who was King Uzziah? What was particular about his life? Who knows? He walked into the temple to a place where he was not supposed to go. Because what happened, and the scripture says, that he had pride in his heart. He lifted up his heart and he presumed that he could go where only God ordained certain people to go, the priest, the high priest. In fact, the high priest was the one that was chosen. But his heart became lifted up, and he thought, well, he can do anything. He can go anywhere. And of course, now, you know, the parallel between what happened with Satan, it becomes clear. You know, Satan's heart got lifted up, and he said, I can be like the Most High. I can be like God. And there you see, you know, the original sin, that pride in the heart. And so he, you know, it says very specifically in the year, almost like the Bible gives us a hint there. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord lifted high, seated on his throne. The moment you choose to humble your heart, the Bible says God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. The moment that the pride died is the moment that Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. He saw the Lord, but he saw the Lord. And you think, you know, we can talk a lot and we can do many sermons about who God is. And I think, you know, I've so enjoyed the set list tonight, Donna and team, because it's all about the Lord. But I think Matthew, we must write more songs about God. Too many of the songs today are about me. And how my life can be better, and how God brings me joy, and he brings me this, and all good stuff, all true, but we need to put our attention back on God and connect with God. And that struck me so. And go and talk to the people that were at the 12 hours prayer meeting. You can't pray for 12 hours and not meet with the King. At some point, you need to, you know, you can't not. And so, you have to connect. You have to connect. And that's it. Because you can have the list We love lists in the church today. You can have all the names of God, and you can have all the scriptures even, and God speaks to his word, don't get me wrong, but there's a place where you sit down, and you become quiet, and you settle with the king. You connect with the king, and the king changes you. He is the king. And so we see that. We see Isaiah coming, and the first thing he says was, listen, I didn't realize God was so amazing. He says, woe is me. You know, and here's the prophet. Here's the guy that, you know, he walked around and he said to the people, listen, you full of idols, you this, you must repent, you must turn around. Yeah, he comes and the first thing he says, woe is me, because I'm a man of unclean lips. And I've dwelt between a people of unclean lips. And then God comes. Firstly, the angels begin to declare, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holiness again means that God is so much different from what we are. And that's why we worship God. Think about it. If God was so much like us, why do we worship? You know, why would we worship ourselves? It doesn't make sense. God is different. He's awesome. He's not sinful. He's not weak. He doesn't have his sinful nature or humanness. And God is fine with that in terms of us. He just wants us to recognize that we are human in need of him. But he's God and he's holy. And so the angels shout that. And eventually we see the angels coming, and they're coming to Isaiah, and they come with this skull, and it's a symbolic picture, and it actually changed him, physically changed. As the angel came and it touched his lips, and it says his lips were cleansed. And then the words came from the king. He said, who shall go for us? Who will go and do what we have called? And so often, mostly if we connect with the king immediately decides, this is my ambassador. This is my sent one. I'm going to send him into the world. He's going to represent me because he's seen me. He knows who I am. I want to just bring you back to the phrase, for my eyes have seen the king. And then God sends us, he commissions us, and that's what we're going to look at tonight. And I want you to, in fact, we had a church fast week where we were praying through the various ministries and of getting involved. But this is really spiritual. In fact, we're going to talk about all the ministries in church, including the natural stuff, the sound, the projector, all these things. Nothing is unspiritual. Everything is crucial. Everything is spiritual. And everything works together for God to produce fruit, right? For God to do, and everyone shares in the victory. And so nothing's unspiritual. If the Lord speaks to you about something, don't question the Lord. Just go with what he is saying. And so God is holy. And I want to actually ask you, is the size of your God affected by your circumstance? If you go through a difficult time, if for 6 months God has not answered your prayer, what does that do to the size of your God? Question. What does it do to the size of your God? Now, the fact of the matter is, God hasn't changed. He's still God in all his glory. All right? The only thing that changes is our perception of who he is. And our perceptions are so powerful. If your perception of God is this small, guess what? He's going to be this small in your life. If your perception of God is massive, he's going to do awesome things in your life. And how do you change your perception? You meet with the king. You make time to connect with the heart of the king. You make time to allow him to change and transform. I shared a testimony last week that you know, sometimes God gives you revelation and he gives you downloads and he speaks to you and he ministers to you, and those are all great. But then there's times when you walk into his presence, you walk out of his presence, but you changed. Nothing, he didn't say anything, he didn't give you any specific instruction. All you know is you changed because you were in the presence of the king. That's what God does. Right, so three things quickly. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to just quickly touch on it. I'm not even going to read it, but go and read it at home. 11, 12, 13. He gave us mentors, right, to do the work of the ministry so that we become mature. Now, I want you to firstly note the order. There's three things that you need to know about this scripture. Henny Swart says there's three myths about the scripture. The first myth is the qualification myth. When we come to God, so firstly it says we must do the work of the ministry. Who must do the work of the ministry? The saints. Who are the saints in this room? Put up your hand. Yes, you are a saint. This is actually amazing. A lot of believers don't realize this. If you've been washed by the blood of Jesus, you're a saint. So when you see that word saint in the scripture, it means you. Because Jesus has justified you. Jesus has made you a saint. Right? It's not special people. It's not just elect certain amazing people. You're a saint because of Jesus' work in and through you. It says the saints will do the work of the ministry. And so, you know, that's the qualification myth. The qualification myth says, no, I'm not there. The qualification myth says, I haven't dealt with everything in my life to be able to be a minister. Or the qualification myth says, I need to know more about God. I need to do certain things. I need to prepare and change some stuff in my life before. No, you are a minister. Jesus, the first thing he said to his disciples when he called them, he says, now become fishers of men. And he sends them immediately. He doesn't wait 3 years and say, okay, wait. You're not ready yet. You're just a bit immature. You're a bit, you know, you need to learn a bit more. Your character needs to build. And so the first myth is that I need to be mature before I can be a minister. But see the order of the scripture. It says there's mentors to help us, to equip us, to do the work of the ministry, and then we become mature. So in other words, you cannot become mature unless you become a minister. It's in being a minister that you become mature. It's in being, it's in seeing the King and reflecting the King to the world in whichever way, whether it's in our speech, whether it's in stuff that we do, whether it's in the arts that we're going to hear soon. Whatever way we demonstrate the King into this world, in doing that, we become mature. It's not, I must be mature before I can. No, other way around. You'll never be mature unless you minister the heart of God. Qualification myth. Second myth is the outsourcing myth. Now, this is, you know, a large part of the traditional church, unfortunately, walking this. And you'll go into certain churches and the pastor would do everything. You know, and the people would sort of outsource the ministry to the pastor. He must do that. He must lead people to salvation. He must pray for people and baptize people in the Holy Spirit or in water. Or he must minister to people's salvation or whatever the case might be. But that is a bad reflection of the church of Jesus Christ. That is not sufficient according to God. But so the mentors are there to equip the saints for the work of the ministry so that the saints can do the ministry. That's the outsourcing myth. We're not called to outsource. We're called to participate with God. That's when the kingdom becomes exciting, becomes fun. Then the last myth is the feel-good myth. And this one's easy. Because we often do things and it doesn't feel good. And then we're like, maybe that's not God. But who of you know that that is life? That God's going to ask you stuff to do and it's not going to necessarily feel good, but it is good. It's going to produce fruit. Just ask any mothers around. Ask Miranda. Right? It you know, when you decide to get kids, you know, it's exciting and it's a good choice until the wife gets pregnant, right? And then you can ask some of the ladies, they get nauseous and it's suddenly not nice. It suddenly doesn't feel good. But then eventually you see the fruit of getting children. It's amazing. There's a blessing. And that is the way the kingdom works, is God gives us stuff to do, and sometimes it's laboring, sometimes it's hard, sometimes it doesn't feel good. That doesn't mean it's God. You need to know what God has called you to. That's why I always encourage people, get a word. Get a word so that you can stand on the word and not your feelings. Your feelings will always be unreliable. You need to stand on God's word and do what he's called you to do. And then things will change. Right, so we're going to introduce the ministries now. We're going to call them to come and quickly just share what the ministries are about. If you're visiting us, if you're a member today, write down where you, and you must already know actually where you're supposed to be involved with. You must already know what is God's word for you for this year. And so write down where you can see my heart connects. You know, my spirit connects. There's something. God is saying something to me and tick off that box. We're going to get you little forms that you can fill in a bit later. But just for the moment, note, and you'll see when some of the people begin to speak, you're going to see, well, something, Pastor Fred calls it, my baby jumps. He says, you know, when Mary and Jesus, the baby leaped, right? Sometimes when we connect with our passions, it's like something jumps. Right? What makes your baby jump when these people share? And write it down. Write down. This, you know, this is, something's there and I don't quite know. And so you can talk to the leaders. So they are the mentors, right? The ministry leaders that's coming up. You can go to them and say, listen, teach me a bit about this. Show me, you know, I don't really understand what God is saying here, but, you know, I want to be obedient. For if you're visiting tonight, you, of course, by all means, are very well welcome to also put your name on, but at the same time, this is a good opportunity for you to see the heartbeat of the church. It's a good opportunity to look at the ministries and see the things that we do and why we do it. So feel free to ask questions of all the ministries. Of course, we can't like do a comprehensive explanation of the discipleship tract and everything we do, but feel free to ask a question. It's like a window into the church, so... Please enjoy it. So who's Mumsy? Mumsy's our champion for Encounter One. So let's give her a hand and then she can share.
Okay, good evening, church. So I'm just going to quickly share about Encounter One. So I'm just going to quickly read the scripture. It says, for no man can lay any foundation other than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Encounter One is about foundations, and so pretty much it's about foundations, and we believe in that that we lay that foundation on Jesus Christ. So when we're praying for this year, we just really felt like God wants people to encounter, you know, the people, especially unbelievers. We're trusting for unbelievers to come, the people that are lost, the people that don't know God, to come into Encounter One and really just come and encounter Jesus, you know. And we were just really feeling like, you know, that we're really trusting for people to encounter God and for people to get a revelation of who Jesus is. And it's from that place of them getting a revelation of who Jesus is that they can also, that they can, like, you know what Pastor Reno was saying about, as we see Jesus. When they see Jesus, they will begin to start seeing who they are in Jesus and Jesus, and begin walking in the call that God has called them to walk in. So we're really just trusting for that. So the first thing is just for them to encounter Jesus. And the second thing is also like for them to be empowered, you know, as they come to Encounter One, for them to be empowered through the baptism. So we teach about baptism and we teach about Holy Spirit, water baptism, Holy Spirit baptism. And it's from that, as they, we teach about that. And also we just trust for people to actually really do get baptized in the Holy Spirit and also get baptized in water. And also the last thing is just like, we're just really trusting for truth about, you know, like I remember before I got saved, I thought I was saved, you know, or even before I got really baptized, I thought I was baptized. I thought the things that I came here, before I got saved, I had a lot of deception in my mind. And we're really just trusting that people will really know the truth about how do we actually really get a relationship with God? Do you really have a relationship with God? And are you really baptized? And how do you go about being baptized and all of that? So if you really... you know, want to grow in sharing your faith, like what Pastor D was saying, you know, like it's not about whether you're equipped or not. It's about whether, you know, if you want to grow in sharing your faith, if you want to grow in sharing your faith and also in, let me just quickly, not forget what I wanted to say. Yeah, if you want to grow in sharing your faith, you want to grow in teaching the word, and also if you want to grow in prayer, we also have a team of people that are praying during the session. So if you want to grow in prayer, if you want to grow in giving prophetic words, because you give prophetic words to people afterwards, so please come and join us. And yeah, so just come and let me know after the service. So that's what the encounter was about.
Hello, everyone. Got to love the Lord. You prepare something, and then 2 minutes beforehand, he tells you to do something different. I think Reno's quite used to that already. My name is Reno. Those of you guys that don't know me, I'm just going to quickly share something. I've got Encounter 2 that I've been heading up for the last few years. And Encounter 2 is about church. But the testament that I want to share with you is just how God has been working in my life over the last few years. So, as most or a lot of people these days, I come out of a divorced household, and I think it was about 8 or 9 or 10 when my parents divorced. At that time, not realizing the long-term effect that was going to have on my being, and especially when I was growing up, when I started dating, about 20, 21, 22, I was in a long-term relationship, and I realized that, that every time I fought with my girlfriend, there was an escape. I could move on easily. I could just say to her, it's not working out for me. We can just finish this. And then she actually pointed out the one day to me, she said, you know, I don't know if you ever realized, but I never think of it like that. Her parents, by the way, was married, happily married. And it was the first time it actually struck me that I always had this understanding that I could run away from the circumstances, from a relationship, from something that was binding me down. And easy in my mind. It was very easy. Only later on, many, many years later, joined church, got saved, and really just God has been working in my heart, and that realized that, that God has really delivered me from that particular thing, really delivered me from running away from commitment, from church, from family. And specifically, right now, I remember a few years ago, we were sitting one breakfast morning, I was asking the question about covenant. Covenant's a very difficult word. It's obviously the thing that we do when we go into relationship with one another as a husband and wife, and also with church. But he asked the question, what does covenant mean to you? And for me, it just popped up in my heart. It meant there's no back door. That means whatever is happening in front of you, you face it, you deal with it, you move with it, and you sort it out. So obviously we're talking about church. And there's one or two just small things I want to share. I know I'm far over my time, so just please bear with me. But Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And it was such an awesome just scripture, just on how Jesus in one moment basically depicts Peter's calling and purpose. Before that, Peter was a fisherman. What did he know? He was just fishing. And that was what he did for life. But in one moment, Jesus actually said to him exactly what he's going to be and what his life and his purpose and his fulfillment is going to be. And we know the story as it continues and the work that God did through him. But I just felt specific to share with each one of you guys that I feel that God has really placed in us a rock and that he wants to build the church upon us, on each individual year as well. And so I want to invite each person here to really be part of this adventure. That it is doing church together, being church, and not just coming to church. I think Raina also said it, but to be church, that we really are church. And at today's time, it really is important. We fight for that. The question was asked this morning, who needs to join, who needs to participate, facilitate? So as I said, I've got my story. A lot of you guys have your story. If you have a story and you feel like an outcast sometimes, outside the family, you've got challenges, you're the right person to really to come participate and also facilitate. And obviously Encounter 2 is open for everyone and all people. And specifically I want to just encourage you to allow your heart to actually come and be part. Awesome guys, enjoy.
Evening, everybody. My name is Leon Lexa. It's my first time in the evening service in a long time. Did you guys hear when Reino said if you think about God as little, then you'll be, what will you see? I'm going to paraphrase you there. They're not answering. Then the fruit in your life will be little. It'll be little and anointing. If you think about God as massive, then that's what you'll see in your life. And Reno knows Jesus, and that's actually the truth. And I found it in my own life. But there's something else that's shocking, and that I'm going to read to you what Jesus said. He meets Mary in the garden after he's risen from the dead, and he says, go and tell the brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Jesus making the shocking revelation that not only is God his Father, we know he's the Son of God, but he's also our Father, right? And all the time through his life, he's speaking like that, and to a Jewish mind, that was weird. To us, it's also weird. Maybe not as quite where they were. But what I want to tell you, in Encounter 3, we normally... doesn't say that. But in Encounter 3, we normally speak about how God is a Father, and that has implications for your life. The fact that God is your Father has implications for your life. And just like Reno said, the way that you look at God, it influences the fruit on your life. This is a very key part of that. So if you think about Father God, and you'll see it, I've heard some people quote, they say, if you, bad nations have bad gods. The way that you look at God, that influences the way that you act towards other people. It influences the way you look at yourself. It influences the way you look at other people around you. And it influences the way that you act. And in the end, it influences everything. So in Encounter 3, that's what we talk about. Who is God? He's a Father. What does that mean for me? And we walk through a lot of that and the implications. That's it. It's actually long.
Okay, so I just want to share about the other part of Freedom Weekend, the freedom part of Freedom Weekend. So for those who are a little bit confused here, a lot of you will be used to Encounter 3 and Encounter 4, and what's going to be happening is the two are going to be combined into a Freedom Weekend. And I think it's so awesome because one of the scriptures which we quote a lot, John 10:10, says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I, that's Christ, has come to give life and life in abundance. And I think one of the biggest areas often where he gets access to come steal, kill, and destroy is hurts that we have from growing up, stuff we've experienced in our homes, through family, through friends. And a lot of that actually gets dealt with in Encounter 3. But this is also the freedom part, also known as deliverance part. Yeah, it's quite a funky tune. Yeah. it's that's freedom. It's the dancing part. Okay, he sets you free to dance. He really does. What's that song? He sets my feet a dancing. Okay, so it must be prophetic. So where on earth was I? Freedom. Dancing. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, so really the enemy actually uses, he's so low. He actually uses those wounds and that we have to actually gain access. And it's so awesome in the freedom part where we walk you through deliverance. What it really is as a facilitator, really partnering with the Holy Spirit in walking alongside someone to see where the enemy has gained access. And it's almost like, you know, in the middle of the night, you hear that scratching. You're like, what's going on? And then you walk into the kitchen and you switch the light on and there you see all the rats and the cockroaches. Okay, as soon as that light comes to shine, you're like, ah. And then you see where they've come in, the little holes. And that's really what you do. Is like you walk along, the Holy Spirit comes and shines and sees, ah, there's the cockroaches and the rats that are stealing and killing. And it's not cool. We're going to close up those holes so that they can't come in anymore. And you actually help and walk alongside the people as well, so that they can stand in the authority that they've got in Christ to tell the enemy to leave. Enough is enough. I like to call this enemy access denied. No more. Because it says in the word we have authority, the same authority in Christ. We're in Christ. It says submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. And it's really standing alongside and holding their arms up so that they can take authority and tell the enemy to go. And to close those doors where the enemy has gained access to their lives, so that they can walk in the full abundance that the Lord has for them. So really, if you have a heart, if you love people, and you love seeing people free. It frustrates you when you see people stuck and see people being oppressed by the enemy the whole time and not walking in abundance, and it breaks your heart. And hopefully it's all of you, and you really just love people, then this ministry is for you, really, because it's just so amazing to see people like come in almost stuck and in prison and then walk out of here free. It sounds very scary, but really don't. It's not you. It's the Holy Spirit and Jesus that comes to do the deliverance. You're really just walking alongside. So anybody here who knows Jesus, who has the Holy Spirit, is equipped for this ministry. You just need love. That's all you need. Just a lot is love. I'm just going to finish off with a scripture. Peter was, he blows the qualification myth out the water. He was a fisherman. And he was even like a fisherman who denied Jesus. This is the most unqualified. But yet, we see him driving out demons and healing people. And it's because he understood the authority of Christ. He says in Acts chapter 4, "Let it be known and understood by all of you and by the whole house of Israel that in the name and through the power and authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified but whom God raised from the dead, in him and by means of him, this man is standing here before you well and sound in body." So all of you, if you know Christ, you can walk in that authority alongside people to see them also standing whole and well and sound in body. So really, it's an adventure. So sign up to facilitate. If you haven't done it, do it. Even if you think, "No, man, I'm fine," just do it. I'm done.
Right, I'm back. Encounter 5 is an equipping ministry. And so what we call, it's the new Encounter 5. So if you've done maybe a couple of years back, it's quite a bit different. We call it today the Lordship Encounter. And it works like this. Jesus says that there's a harvest, and the harvest is ready. And then he says one thing. He says, pray for the laborers. So, you know, often when we think of what needs to be done in the world, we look at the Great Commission, we look at the fact that we need to, like Kathleen says, cast out demons, heal the sick, and do miracles. One can easily experience a lot of pressure, right? And you can easily look at the world and say, well, the world is so far away from God, people's perceptions are different, the methods of the years past don't work, and so this task just feels overwhelming. And how must I reach out to the colleagues and all of that? But Jesus says, don't worry about that. He says, don't worry about the harvest because it's ready. Pray for the laborers. And then Jesus introduces himself. He says, but I am the Lord of the harvest. I am the Lord. And that means, you know, we don't need to fear because he's the Lord. Jesus, if we're connected to the Lord of the harvest, he will make sure that we have an powerful impact in this world. And so the whole weekend is about connecting to the Lord of the harvest, because he will make sure we make the difference. He's the Lord. He's the commander of the armies. The Revelation paints the picture of him on a white horse. He leads in front. And so we just need to follow. And so over the weekend, we look at practical stuff like apologetics, engaging with people around us. We get practical in terms of the gifts, how to prophesy, how to pray for the sick. We teach practical stuff about small groups and how to be an effective facilitator. We get practical around the skills of ministry. And so if you want to be part of the team, you just need to have a passion for practical ministry. You don't need to necessarily be an evangelist, but any practical ministry. So join the team, and then Encounter 5 is this coming weekend. If you want to participate, if you want to do it. Thanks.
Hello. I'm going to talk about School of the Nations. So part of Shofar Rondebosch's calling comes from Isaiah 60 verse 4, which says, "Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar and your daughters shall be carried on the hip." We believe that the Lord sends us sons and daughters from afar into Shofar Rondebosch to get equipped for the work of the ministry to go out into the nations. We believe that every single person is a key to a nation or a specific people group. And School of the Nations exists to raise up those leaders to fulfill the prophetic call of Africa. We train people to use tools such as worship, intercession, prophetic ministry as they engage in missions in African nations. We cover topics that aren't typically covered in Bible schools, such as prophetic movement, apologetics, African traditional religions, and a whole host of things. So if you want to learn more about that, so it's encounters, but all the encounters on steroids, actually. So come, there's in-field training, there's options for parents, there's catch-up sessions. It's really such an amazing week, a consecrated 10 days that you can say, okay, I want to get equipped during this 10 days. And this time in April, it's on the 8th to the 17th, as you've seen in the announcement earlier. It's 10 days, and it's specifically designed for working people and for teachers to be able to join. It's going to be amazing. You just have to take 4 days of leave. That's all. And come do School of the Nations. But just on that note, if you have done School of the Nations and you want to come and serve at School of the Nations in terms of prayer support or whatever, I really want to encourage you as well. But if you're thinking about doing School of the Nations or not thinking about doing it, do it. It'll change your life. I've done it so many times now, sitting in the sessions. And every time I do it, the Lord shows me something different of his heart for Africa and what he's called each and every one of us to do. So, yay, School of the Nations, do it.
Cool, so I'm here for Kids Church. And I'll just read the scripture quickly. It says, it's Luke 18, verse 16, and it says, "But Jesus called them to himself, saying, 'Allow the children to come to me, and do not forbid them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these.'" And it's been so cool to see how kids really trust the Lord. And something that really shifted my mind is that there's no junior Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the Holy Spirit. And it's been so cool to invest in the kids and teach them the Bible, teach them the stories. And I've seen such cool stuff happening just in the kids. They really challenge me. But if you do want to get involved, Pietra is the leader, and you must send her a message or you can tick it on the slippy. And it's just really cool. Like, kids can really impact their family and their communities wherever they are. So, yeah, next to you.
Hi, guys. I'm quickly talking about the ministry of Baristaing, which is very much a ministry, and I'll explain how that adds onto the body right now. It's very important. So what we do is we make coffee and tea and hot chocolate to some people at the front there. And we get to see the first people. We could get to be the first contact point with the people who come into the church who are new, which is very, very awesome. The scripture that we stand on is Romans 12, verse 13. It talks about godly life in Romans 12, and then it says, consider the needs of the saints. And some people might draw a parallel there. But then it says, and see to it that you practice hospitality, which is the other side of it. So we consider the needs of the coffee lover saints, and we practice hospitality to all the new people and everybody else out there. The one cool thing that many people might not know, but many of the proceedings from the Baristaing or from the coffee goes into School of the Nations and to missions, to help people who cannot finance their own missions or School of the Nations, or to just add on to what Kingdom is doing over here. So it is a big part of the body.
Hello, I'm representative of the projector team. The psalmist says, "The zeal for your house has consumed me." And Jesus is also passionate about his house. So the projector team is like the sinews that keeps the hands moving, because the band is here, the person playing is here, the person talking is here, but the projector person is the person that makes everything else works better. So if you're passionate about being part of the house of the God of Jesus, which Jesus is also passionate about, please speak to me after the service. Thank you.
Evening again. So I'm part of the sound team. So what we do, we just make sure everything sounds really awesome on Sunday afternoons and mornings. And I think the frequently asked question is, okay, do I need some experience to do sound? Not in the beginning. We will teach you everything you need to know about like testimony. I didn't even know what F minor is, and I still don't know what that is. But yet that do you sound. So yeah, I will really take you through the whole process, and we even support you when you in your beginning stages, you know, still not confident to do it on your own. So yeah, if you're keen to do that, sign up or come chat to me. Yeah, so our scripture is 2 Timothy verse 7. You're not given a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. No. My only chance to do it. Okay.
Hi, everyone. It's also been a while since I've been in an evening service. So hello, I'm Chantal, for those that haven't met me yet, and I am expecting. So I'm the champion for hospitality. So basically, our main purpose is actually to create that space and that atmosphere and just that opportunity after church for everyone just to get together, to get to know each other, to build relationship, and really just tap into each other's hearts, if it's because you're going through challenges or just because you want to actually just share what you've been going through or ask someone to really just pray for you for the coming week. And that's really the main purpose of the snacks and just creating that atmosphere after church. So there's basically just two scriptures that I want to share with you. The one ties very close to the barista ministry, and it has to do with love, and it says, share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality. That's in Romans 12, verse 13. And then another one is in Hebrews 13, verse 1 to 3. It says, keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. So it's not about just the new people coming to church and creating the atmosphere for them to actually just share with each other, but it's also for all the current family members just to have that space and just that place to open up to each other and to build a relationship. So we have hospitality at both the morning and the evening services, and you're welcome to sign up for only one of those if you prefer evening service or morning service, but please speak with me afterwards if you're keen to join.
Good evening. For the new faces, my name is Leona. I just want to explain the card to you. Can you give me one? Thanks. So you see there's two sections on the card. The first one says, I would like to sign up for the following ministry. So that's the one where you tick if you want to do that course. So you maybe haven't done Encounter One, then you tick Encounter One. And all that means is we're going to phone you in the week and say, this is when the dates are, this is what it costs, this is how you can enroll. So if you think you might at all be interested, tick it, and we're just going to give you some info for that. In terms of encounters, I want to share that, you know, encounters are not specialist courses for specific people who are interested in specific things. It's not healing courses for people who've only the people who've gone through that kind of pain. The encounters were developed to be basic Christianity. It's basic Christian processes and disciplines that's actually for everyone. So I want to say, if you haven't done any of the encounters of Freedom Weekend, I almost want to say just stick it off. It's definitely worth it, definitely something that will change your life. The people who've done all the encounters, won't you stand quickly? Did it change your life? Put up your hand if it changed your life. Okay, put down your hand. Is it something every Christian should do? Okay. There's a lot of enthusiasm. You can sit down. Now, you also know who they are, so ask them. The same for all the other sections there. With the prayer room one, it says their prayer room hours per month. Matthew's going to talk about the prayer room. But this is not, we're not going to check you up on this. So this is for you to make a commitment to God, to say, I want to go to the prayer room 2 hours a month or 20 hours a month or whatever, 10 minutes a month, whatever your commitment towards the Lord is. So you can just fill it in there and it's for you. We're not going to mark it off and phone you in a month's time and ask you what happened. Then the bottom section is ministry commitments. So this is where you want to serve. So if there's encounter one at the bottom, it means I want to facilitate encounter one. Now, what I recommend is that all Christians do all the encounters, whether you, you know, Christians from other churches are also welcome, people who are not Christians are welcome, anyone is welcome for the encounters. So I suggest all people do all the encounters. And then I also suggest, if you've done all the encounters, that you facilitate all of them at least once. Just go to each one once, and you might find one that's really suited to your gifting. The only way you'll know is by going. But also to facilitate all the encounters once is really a big step in your Christian walk. You'll see that you'll grow a lot through it. And don't be intimidated to facilitate encounters. They're not going to let you just walk up with a mic and ask you to teach. You'll be prepared. The team leader will speak to you about what's going to happen, and they'll see what it is, you know, what role you want to take. It's not intimidating or scary. You sign up, and then there will be communication from them. And then obviously all the other ministries, you just tick. And what happens when you tick this, and please put your name and your number at the bottom, and please remember to give it to us before you leave tonight. What this means, if you tick it, this is not a contract of commitment. This is just I'm interested. So just stick what you're interested in, and we'll give you info. And from there on, you can decide exactly what. This can be your commitment, but for this week, we'll phone you, and then we'll give you the info. Then I want to speak about the band. I'm going to read from Revelation 4, and I'm starting at verse 8. And we're talking about heaven here. The four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." So, you know, worship is not just music. Worship is a heart's position to God. It's actions flowing out towards God. It's an expression of our love for God, and it can be in many different forms. But even the Bible places a specific emphasis on music in terms of worship. Look at the Old Testament, even the temple. Look at the tabernacle of David, and look at heaven. And you know, heaven is perfect. In heaven, everything is going to be amazing. And this is what they do in heaven. They worship. So worship is a very important part, and specifically through the band, it's a very important part of what we do and a very important part of our Sunday services, but also of all our ministries. So on the form there where it says band and instrument, if you're interested, if you have a passion and a talent to serve Jesus, if you have a passion for worshiping, if you have a talent, any musical talent, if you suspect you have one, then you can also come. If you're not sure, we'll tell you. Gently. I don't have a musical talent, but I love to worship. And if you're interested, tick there, whatever your skill level is, there's different places to slot into. And specifically also, if you're interested in percussion, even if you have never played one beat in your life, we are going to be training up percussionists this year. So percussion is drums, so like djembe and that. If you're interested, let us know. So tick there if you're interested. If you think I want to sing or I play this instrument, just indicate that for us. And we're going to have auditions on the 28th. It's not this Tuesday, it's the next one in the evening. So please let us know so we can get in contact with you. Myself and Stefan there at the back, you can just see what his face looks like. We'll be in contact with you. And then I also want to share about intercession. So intercession, we have the prayer room, which Matthew will share about, but we have intercession as well. In the prayer room, everyone prays all the time. We don't really listen to each other. That's not the point. But in intercession, it's where we get together to pray for specific things, to pray in agreement. So it's very strategic. It's Thursday mornings, 5:30. It's a great sacrifice you can make for the kingdom of your sleep. And we pray for specific things, the country, the leaders, campus, Cape Town, the church, whatever the Lord and how the Holy Spirit leads. Great place to learn, to hear the voice of God. So if you want to really commit to intercession, then tick that box. Megan leads intercession. She couldn't be here tonight, so I'm just doing this on her behalf. But we also have a core group every year of intercessors, which are then they spend extra time with Megan and with some other people, and they really get trained to be intercessors. Some people are really called to do that, and it's so crucial. I love the intercessors. We can't function at all without them. So if you think, if something in you stirs for that, then you can also tick that.
Awesome. For those who do not know me, my name is Matthew, and I love the book of Matthew itself. In Matthew 21, verse 13, Jesus says that my house should be called a house of prayer. You know, that book says everything. So, well, the prayer room, it's such a very good tool that God has given to us this year as a church to really come and seek the Lord. Some of us only pray easily when you come to a setting like this on a Sunday, when we worship, after feeling some good worship, then you kind of get motivated to pray. Some of us struggle to pray at home, but I think it's such a good opportunity for each and everyone to grow as believers in the life of prayer. One thing that I've noticed reading the many revival stories, the one thing they had in common, it's always prayer. I was reading one day revival stories about the Eastern African revival. It just started with one man who really felt that, you know, things were not going well. You know, sometimes we have things that we are complaining about in our families, whether in our workplaces or in the nation. It just costs one person that decides to really seek the Lord for that specific case. So I'm really wanting to encourage you, because we meet here on Monday from 12 to 2, and from Monday to Thursday, we pray from 12 to 2. You can come here, either if your time capacity will only allow you to come for 30 minutes, please do come. Well, an hour, please do come, or 2 hours, you can still attend. You don't have to come every day. You can even come on Monday or perhaps on Saturday. And while we pray, there is a band worshiping, playing songs, and we kind of have these moments where we really establish memorials before God. I can really testify of many things in my life of just having to spend time with the Lord, just spending time to pray. And I don't think I would have stand here in front of you today if I didn't have time while I was in high school to really spend time in a prayer room seeking the Lord, you know, crying to God for many things that I can still testify today of God doing. So I'm telling you, if church does not pray, don't talk about revival. If you do not pray, don't even talk about revival. You know, a prayerless church, powerless church. If we pray a lot, there will be revival, there will be power. No prayer, no power. So if you want to be powerless in your Christianity, don't pray. If you want to really experience the power of Jesus, pray like Jesus did. If Jesus prayed and went to the mountain to pray, then who are you to neglect prayer? So I really want to encourage you. We're getting into 24 hours. We're going to get there. Yesterday, we had 12 hours to really pray. I'm really wanting to encourage you. Don't wait until you have stress, or maybe if you are dating someone, break up with you, then you need to come and pray to bring their hearts back. Or maybe when you're looking for a job. So let's just come as we are to pray, to really seek the Lord. All right? Thanks.
Hello, everybody. My name is Michelle. This morning I didn't quite have the graveyard shift like I do now, so it was a little bit easier, but luckily I'm talking about something very exciting. I have the great privilege to speak about the Creative Hub. So some of you might have known this as the Arts Ministry, but henceforth it will be known as the Creative Hub. Okay, so what are our goals? It's to disciple people in the creative and also to support other church ministries through creative expression. This includes all kinds of creative expression, drama, dance, drawing, painting, poetry, whatever else you want to add to that list. So you don't need any formal training in any of these art forms to join. We just need you to attend the Kingdom Creativity Workshop as a basic form of training to serve here. Okay, so what are we doing at the moment? At the moment, we have teams creating on Kingdom Sundays. We also take part in other church projects as they come up. For instance, the memorial artworks that you see there when you come in, or also documenting church events with film, just to name two examples. And then we're really excited to see where God's taking it. We're really expectant to see what He has in store for us this year. This is really a journey of learning how to be creative with God and how to use your creativity in the kingdom. So if this makes you excited, if your baby is jumping all over the place, like Raina just said, then please just indicate so on the card. And whether or not you've attended the Kingdom Creativity Workshop, just indicate on the card if you are, if you think you might be keen to serve in this area. Also, just write down what art form or art forms you are interested in or passionate about. And yeah, then we will contact you. And if you have any other questions or ideas, we welcome new ideas and new art forms, things that you haven't seen used in church before, we welcome it. So please just come chat to me after the service. Thank you.
Cool stuff. Can I ask all the people that shared to quickly come forward? Rena's still here. Stefan, if you can also come forward for the band. Which of the ministries are missing? Leon, you can also come forward. Okay, so we're going to give some opportunity to chat to the people, to tell them that you want to be part of the team. So you obviously can ask him questions, but I want to just check if there's any questions now of any of the ministries, of any of the things that we've shared tonight, maybe something that you'd like to know about church, so on. Esther, do you want to ask?
Do you have to do the encounters in
order? So the question is, do you have to do the encounters in order? No, you don't have to. You can do them in any order that you like. Traditionally, it was in the order. You had to do it in that order. Encounters 4, which is Freedom Weekend now specifically, that's probably the only one we'll say, well, you have to have done Encounter 1 and 2. But generally, you can do them in any order. If you can, it does make sense to do them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, because they do follow on each other. So that's, does that answer your question? Cool. Lord? Yes. We apologize. So if you want to be part of the Encounter 5 team, draw a little box and tick there, or join us the weekend. Joining us the weekend is even better because it's Encounter 5 this weekend. Yes, question. I thought Jean-Claude had a question. No questions. Is there a question there? Uma? No? Happy? Everyone happy? Any other questions? Okay. Then I'm going to pray for us. And then you can come and talk to these respective people. Feel free to ask them whatever you want to ask them. They definitely have all the answers. So ask them. Okay. Let's pray. Yes. And please remember, Armand will be standing at the door. So you can just give your cards to him so that we can give you that necessary information regarding the ministries. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that, Jesus, you've not left us as orphans. You've not left us by ourselves, but yet you sent us the Holy Spirit to be our helper so that we can partner with you, God, so that we can see the power of God in this world. Father, we recognize, we realize that this world, this nation, Cape Town, is in massive need of the light, of your life. Father, we recognize that the thief is stealing, killing, destroying. But Jesus has come for life in abundance. And we're your vessels. And Father, we pray that right now, through the power of your Holy Spirit, you would empower us to be effective in this world, to be effective in building your house. And Father, we pray now in the name of Jesus that you would stir up the gift inside your people tonight. We thank you, God, that every person here is a gift, Father. And we come against every lie that says something to the contrary. We come against every lie that says that you're not that gift, you're not that blessing to the world.
But in fact, you are a blessing. We speak it over you now. We speak it over your spirit. You are a gift to this world, and this world, the creation, is longing for the manifestation of this, your Son, Lord. Your Son and your daughters, raise them up right now. Wake up the mighty men and women, God. Wake up the mighty to the purposes of God. Inside the church and outside the church, God. Awaken us to your purposes. In Jesus' name.